abstractions that you hadn't heard of.
Mm-hmm. And, so now I have some. Now I have things because I will follow up with you. I only have Matthew's contact information. So if you want to make sure we exchange emails or something, I would like to get you on the show after, you know, when it's appropriate. And I would love to look into those sources because, you know what, I hadn't heard from them. So instead of getting defensive about it or, you know, embarrassed about it or saying, oh, geez, I haven't read it, and, you know, I'm sure people were commenting on that. But so what? For me, this is now an opportunity to go into different material, and I track it that way. And that's exactly what I do, and I don't judge the interaction at all. And because of this show, I now have a series of things to kind of go look into that, who knows, I'll find what I need to find in. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. One of the common denominators of the names I listed is that they all were experts on the Kennedy assassination, which was the big theme yesterday, and it's still going to carry on. I'm playing the Evergreens explaining who actually killed Kennedy in detail. That stuns everybody. It actually could be quite dangerous to play this stuff if anybody's still lingering from that era, and they're saying, my God, Bob's still out there. We're just going to have to shut him up. That is a possibility in some form as we release this information, because you will hear the Evergreens talking about it 20 years ago saying, Bob, do not release this information right now. But Michael Blake Reed, the channel, he's dead, so he can't be affected, and we're kind of protected in all kinds of ways, so I'm putting it out. And so the joke behind the names I listed is that they all resonated with the last 24 hours, you know, on the 50th anniversary of November 22nd.
Interesting. You know, and I wasn't called to talk about that. I have a blog, The Yin Factor, Y-I-N, and people can go to my website, hillaryramo.com, if they're interested in finding out more about what I write and what I do. But I just, you know, I know a lot of people out there were writing about it, talking about the JFK thing. To me, 11/22, it represents something else. And so I don't have that connection to going into the JFK thing. I'm not interested in it. I didn't have any kind of feel for it. I had a 32-point access consciousness session yesterday with Barbara Gilman. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of access consciousness, but she offered to give it to me, so I took her up on her offer, and it was a great day to do some body work. I came back, did some writing. So, I mean, I really wasn't tuned into that frequency, and I have found that, you know, sometimes people are drawn to things like that, and sometimes they're not. And if you are, it's okay, and if you're not, it's perfectly fine. It's just whatever's in your field for whatever reason. I mean, maybe there's something there. So I didn't realize that all those sources had that connection. But I think we're out of time. Don't you have another guest coming on?
No, we're never out of time. No, we're not out of time. If we have another guest, they can join us. But do you have a 22 in your birthday or your phone number or an address? Do you have a 22 in your life?
Oh, I do. I have a 22, but it's a magical connection, and it's really special to me.
That's
an important connection.
Yeah, see, you're a member of Club 22, which is the group I formed in Toronto 30 years ago. They are people that connect with me, and then I find out they've got a 22 in their life in some format. And I heard you say 11/22 means something else to you, so that's Club 22 talk. And you're not going to tell us what the 22 is in your life?
Well, it's an address of somebody that creates really special things for me, and him and I work together on a very, very magical level. And so, in fact, yesterday I was just dropping off a section of a tree that I had brought down. I had to bring down. It was a very special tree to me. So I had a really hard time with that. It happened on Wednesday, and, you know, it's very sad. But so what I did was I decided to take a piece of the trunk of the tree and have it carved. And the way that I work with this gentleman is very sacred. I mean, he created a several beautiful artwork pieces for me based on me just telling him a story, and then I don't even get involved in the creative process. He goes out and just creates it. And so that was, I guess, one of the first times that he's ever dealt with somebody who's commissioned him to do pieces to do that. So it inspired him to create a whole other platform where people come to him. His name is Samson Contempasas, and you can find him on pretty much, you can just Google him.
And his name again? What's his name?
Contempasas. C-O-N-T-O-M-P-A-S-I-S. And he's a budding artist. He's not like a famous person. You know, you're not going to, he's a budding artist, and he lives in the same city as I do. I've known him for over 20 years. And
you've known him for 22 years. You've probably known him for 22 years.
Probably. You know what? I'll have to track that. I'll have to see if that's true, because that could possibly be true. And so anyway, I brought him a piece of a tree last night, and we had this great conversation, and I brought him the codex that I had bought a copy of. I found a collector's edition copy of, and it's the most expensive book I've ever bought. And I brought it over so he could look through it, and then also, you know, just talk about the wood, and just gave him the wood, and I'm done. He's got it. It's in his hands, and I trust him completely to do it. So his address contains 22, so it's always been one of those things where
there
22.
It is. See?
There it is.
That's what
and
I
so, doubt.
I figured you had a 22. I figured you had 22 in your life.
Well, this relation is very, I respect it because of that. It definitely, there has always been a level of complete honor in all of our interactions, and that's what I strive for. So he's an example to me to go out into the world and to recreate that kind of sacred space where your issues and all the stuff that you usually bring to relationships just isn't there, and you go into that creative space where you're working magically together, beautifully together, and there's just no negativity that seeps into it, which is, I guess there's another question about the codex. Sarah has it on the board here. She wants to know if it could be imagined explanations projected from a parallel world in reflection or observation of this world. You know, Sarah, I always believe that when people bring information like this into the minds of the collective consciousness by way of producing a book or a show or whatever, there is always something. And even though he said his intention was to do that with a childlike state of mind, which I truly believe, I also, you know, have to question, you know, this. It could be very well, you could be right, because it's just so specific. It's just amazing the amount of work that went into that piece. You can go online and find copies of the illustrations and more information about the book, and I would highly suggest you do that if you can. And there are less expensive reproductions of the book, too.
Okay, Hillary.
Sorry, Bob, I wanted to address that.
No, it's all right. We have, I think, Michael Brown from South Africa is supposed to be the guest now. Let's see if he's there. I'd like to see how many of these guests we can pile up. Now, I don't expect you to stay here for 5 or 6 hours, but let's have Michael join in, and you be part of it, and we see if we can square and cube the synchronicity here.
Yeah, I have about 10 minutes, if that's okay.
All right. Well, Michael Brown, are you there?
I don't think he's here yet. Bill says not yet, but soon.
Okay, so then we will talk until another 10 minutes.
Yeah, talk until it gets on, and I don't mind, but I do have other stuff to do today. But I do have an extra couple 10 minutes or so. That
right.
Would be fine.
Is the codex the codex of the Voynich manuscript or the codex of the Vatican materials?
No. The codex I'm referring to is a book by Luigi Serafini, and it's the Serafinius Codex Serafinius. It's spelled Serafin. IANUS, and you can Google it, and actually Wikipedia has a decent copy of some of the basic information. So it was originally published in 1981.
It has nothing to do with the Voynich manuscript, or it does?
No, but it's connected to the Voynich manuscript because it's been compared to the Voynich manuscript. It's been compared to other works as well, but it's compared to it. And so when people look at this book, they think of the Voynich. The Voynich is much, much more. It's an authentic manuscript. It's got a much deeper, more complex history. This is a more recent book that's created by somebody who's an industrial designer and an architect and an artist. And he just basically made up an imaginary world and put it in. And, you know, when you first start looking through it, it's fascinating because you can't understand it, but you can only go by the illustrations, which is what I found to be true with the Voynich. The Voynich was something that as soon as I opened it up, my hands were just tingly. It was just amazing, the energy that was coming off this book. And as a clairvoyant, when I touch objects, I sometimes get impressions of them. And my impressions of this and all of that other stuff will be published in this magazine. I can give you the link. Of course, it's going to be in French, but I'll be posting on my Yin Factor blog the English copy of the article.
Now, what happens when you put your hands on the word heart? What do you pick up about that word?
Heart?
Yes.
You mean just the word heart anywhere, or the heart of the book? You're talking about the manuscript?
No, the concept of HEART, you talk about people should develop their heart reconnection. When you put your hands, your clairvoyance, on that word, what do you see?
Well, what I see with the word heart is a state of being that all human beings have had at some point, and it goes back to the child, the cosmic child, the inner child, the actual child, where we have that state of mind where we have not learned to hate, we have not learned to fear, we have not learned to distrust. So when I put my hands on the word heart, I'm brought back to that feeling of just being you in the space and accepting whatever comes in and out of that space with pure trust, pure curiosity, and with no inhibitions and no real boundaries or lines, but other than beauty, curiosity, interest, and imagination. And I believe very strongly that when we really go into that heart space, when we get into that state of consciousness and we relate to other people in that state of consciousness without coming from our woundage, without coming from our fears, our superficialities, without coming from our facades or what we want other people to think about us or even caring about what other people think about us, you know, we move into a heart space that I call the heart fire. The heart fire is really our inner flame. It's a Gnostic teaching, and basically it goes up beyond even that. It goes back to just the basics of being human. You know, we've all been exposed to some kind of stuff in our life, and as we age, we go through relationships, marriages, multiple marriages or relationships or whatever. You know, we have little dings that start to happen to the heart, and when we get to the end of our lives, you know, if we haven't made peace with that or we haven't reconciled that, then we're really facing something pretty powerful energetically. And so when I pick up on that's what I pick up on the word heart. It tracks through the woundage. It tracks through the possibilities. It tracks through the inspiration. But most importantly, it goes back to the childlike state of mind, the unpolluted childlike state of mind where we all have access to, because we have all at some point experienced that no matter when or where it was on our timeline, we have access back to that.
Well, all that you listed, the inventory of traits and features and characteristics you made, are exactly what the RNA drops do. So we will add to our publicity that the RNA drops integrate, activate, retrieve heart, as you've described it. Because the RNA drops activate the state of love, which is defined as not an emotion. And the way you just described heart was that it's not an emotion.
It's a state of being.
Yes, it's not an emotion.
Yep.
And our product...
You can feel an emotion. I mean, people in love know when they're in love. You know, when I say I love my kids, I love my kids. You know,
emotion is contained by love.
Emotion is a byproduct of that state. I mean, kids even in that unpolluted state of mind don't even look at it as like I love you. I mean, and I love you coming from a child is totally different than what an I love you is coming from a teenager, versus an adult, versus an elder. You know, I mean, there's
and that condition. That mm-hmm. condition is what the new cells give you. To retrieve the childhood awareness is to retrieve your perfect cells. And that's what we actually say the RNA drops do. Isn't that amazing? We actually claim your ideology. Now, you don't necessarily feel the emotion. Who knows what people feel from the drops? They get all kinds of sensations. Often they feel bliss in the first week or so, but that's just the endorphins being released, which is one of the early effects of the RNA drops. But then they get into a non-emotional, non-blissed out state, and they think nothing's happening, but then a year later, all kinds of things are happening. So the regeneration of perfect cells is the... What would you want to say? You want people to retrieve heart, to wake up to heart. What is the verb you put with your agenda here revolving around the word heart?
Well, I don't have an agenda with it, but what I would suggest to people, I mean, if you want to label it, you want to put something on it, just, you know, I mean, I don't want people to do anything. I just want them to be true to themselves. I mean, just be who you are. Be authentic in who you are. Express your truth. Live your truth. Walk out and make, there's no duality between heart and a person. You're always coming from your heart, whether you're coming from a loving place or not. If you're coming from a hating place, then you're still coming from your heart. heart. Your heart has wounds in it that need to be healed. And it's never been more obvious when you look at the quality and kind of words that people choose to bring to the table in conversation and how they interact. You can get an immediate reading into what state of heart they're in, or what kind of,
right.
you know,
so
where they're coming from. So, I mean,
right.
everybody's in their heart, Bob. I mean, everybody's in their heart.
Yeah,
tactility
is what you mean by heart. Tactility,
I guess. I mean, it's like the male-female brain kind of working. I mean, you describe it. I was working with Tom Campbell for a while. We were we traveled over to London, and we did a Q&A at one of our premieres for the Path documentary, The Afterlife. And it was just Tom and I, and Tom and I have done other panels before. And if you're not familiar with Tom Campbell's work, he wrote My Big Toe Trilogy, and he's an astrophysicist who talks about consciousness and this and that from a very scientific perspective. And I have great respect. I'm friends with him and his wife. I've traveled with them. But when Tom and I do a Q&A, everybody loves it because all the women get me and all the men get him. And they all say that. They all stand up and they go, I really know what she's saying, but I love the fact that I hear Tom's perspective. And the guys would say, I know what Tom's saying, but I really love to hear her perspective. I mean, we had an audience in London, probably about 75 people, and then the one we did in New York had about 350. But the questions were always kind of the same. And the New York premiere, we had more people on the panel, but Tom and I had a great synergy going, and people really, really responded to it. But that's kind of how it is. It's like you want me to label it from being a woman, and so that's what's coming out of me. I am a woman, so what's coming out of me is female. It's matriarchal. It's coming from my heart, which is very grounded and firmly planted in the fact that that's how I'm expressing myself in this lifetime, and the same with you. So we are going to name things and label things. I think we have Michael Brown on. Bill did put a thing that he is in conference now, so he's here.
Well, Michael Brown's an expert on heart and tactility. Michael, would you like to speak a few minutes with us here before Hillary leaves?
Actually, Bob, Michael just sent me a note. He says, they sound very engrossed. I'm going to go do my irrigation, and we'll call in again shortly.
Right. Well, actually, Hillary's finished. Tell him, hey, time's up. Tell him not to go irrigate. Hillary has to go. 10 minutes
he,
is gone.
He already split. He's out watering his field.
Well, then we won't have any guests for the next hour, then.
Yeah, he'll be back. There's a time zone confusion. He doesn't think he's on till 11 Pacific.
Okay, it doesn't matter. So, Hillary, you have to go?
But
you said 10 minutes.
But I mean, we were having a good conversation. I hope that, you know, I said we were having a good conversation. It would have been nice to get Michael on. It's unfortunate. These kind of things happen when you have these kind of long, marathonal, scheduled things. That's too bad.
But you're saying the way you describe the difference in men and women, that is what I call the chemical body, and the chip body blurs, cancels those distinctions. You're kind of a fundamentalist about the biological form.
No, but I know I am. No, I know what I am. So it's my biological form is one expression of me. So my biological form is certainly important, just as my energy body when I travel outside of my body is just as important. So that doesn't necessarily have a distinctive labeled form, but my physical body does. And I honor that in every way because it should be honored. You know, I mean, I have given birth to kids. I have gone through the birthing process. I certainly respect it with a gazillion amounts of respect. Every woman that's ever given birth knows exactly what that is. A man does not know what that feels like. So the biological, you know, procreation process itself, you know, that is something you play a role. When I'm making love to somebody, I'm not a man. I'm a woman. And I don't want a man making love to me as a woman. So, I mean, the biological aspect of the body has to be considered and honored and respected, not dismissed and overlooked and kind of, you know, just as default, not seen.
Now, I think the differences between the bodies that you're talking about are enhanced by literacy, and that was a disservice of the printing press. And then you have the chip body and the TV body. They are heavily involved in our lives. I think the biological body is not useful for determining your identity anymore. And I don't mean going into the matrix. The matrix actually has shrunk. The new anthropomorphic physical, that's what I call what we're made up of. You're describing the anthropomorphic physical. And you're putting
well,
in
me,
these...
And I don't know the labels and the references that you're talking about because I'm not familiar with the work. So you have to excuse me in that sense because when you talk about the chip body and so on and so forth, I'm not sure what that means to you because I have not been exposed to the information. So there may be something in that information that would translate to me differently and I would, you know, kind of go, aha, okay, and have to translate. Because, of course, as you've been saying this whole time we've been talking, the language barrier, the language thing that we've all been implanted with is absolutely real. And it's something that we have to make peace with and just go, okay, I don't know what he's talking about. And that's okay to admit that, to say that. Because old world programming would say, just pretend like I don't not know that. Well, I don't know that. So the translation there isn't possible for me because I don't understand what you're saying. But that also means I'm willing to go look at it and say it and say, well, let's see what he was talking about. And can we try to go through it and see, because I believe this conversation has happened synchronistically, so I'm paying attention to everything that you say, and I'm very closely watching what you say and how you say it, and the dings that go off in my mind, I'll make notes of while I'm sitting here listening to you, or I'll Google because I have my computer open, and I'll keep going and looking out of respect to what you're saying, because I believe that the information is coming through you divinely. Finally, whatever that means. To me, it means one thing. To you, it means another. I totally understand what you're saying when you talk about different perspectives and different levels of being and understanding and how, you know, we may or may not be the printing press reproductions. But I can guarantee you, before the printing press, women had breasts and a vagina, and men had penises and, you know, mouths. So, I mean, it's not something that the printing press...
Oh, are we still here?
Hey. Hello.
I'm here. Did you get disconnected? It just bounced.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
I don't know if I. Hello.
Hillary. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I think we had a little moment there because my Skype was acting a little funny for a second. I'm not sure where you heard.
There was a bounce sound, and then we couldn't hear you. But the when you say you don't know what the phrase chip body or TV body means, you would have to look at that. See, you're visual biased. You want to read about it. You want to translate back into the literacy.
Well, yeah, I want to understand. And that doesn't just mean that I look at it, you know, literally through a book. I also do that. I'll look at it clairvoyantly. I'll look at it in all different dimensional aspects because I don't do any of that without those.
What does chip body mean to you clairvoyantly now? As what do the words evoke?
It evokes immediately some kind of foreign implant. So... immediately, it gives me that image of, you know, a foreign implant. So we're talking about programming. We're talking about programming on all levels, all dimensions. And whether that's reading a newspaper, listening to other people's opinions of what truth is, following people around like sheep, not believing anything else that they have experienced themselves, going into places, it invokes flattery. Oh, you're so great. You're so great. You're so wonderful. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? Flattery is a program. Flattery is, to me, a complete and total facade. Okay? Nobody in their right mind wants to be flattered to death because basically you will die because somebody's sucking your energy off as fast as it can. Maybe not even consciously. So, you know, coming to the table not in a state of, oh my God, you're so great. Oh, I just love you, love you, love you. You're so fantastic. Oh my God, I can't believe how wonderful you are. Well, that's great. Okay? But really, that's not authentic. And it's a chip. It's an implanted program. If I kiss someone's ass enough, they'll like me. And quite frankly, you know, we're growing out of that implant or the opposite. Well, I automatically don't like you. I automatically don't trust you, don't like you, I doubt you, I think you're full of crap. I think you're fake, you're a fraud, you're this, you're that. Well, that's an implant too. because you're coming from a place of hate. And when we talked about earlier, this authentic state of love, okay, this heart, this place where we did not know hate or judgment. You know, if you were a child sitting there and another child sat in front of you, you're not going to automatically punch it unless you've learned to punch it. Okay, you're going to goo-ga, the baby language back and forth, and maybe reach out to touch the face and surprise the other one for reaching out and retouching. The other one will reach out and touch you back because there's not that shit. There's not the program implanted into somebody's mind. So
you don't think your biological body is an implant?
My biological body is an implant. Well, in some cases, yeah, it is an implant. But...
Yeah.
I also respect its role. I don't dismiss the body. I know that goes against a lot of new agey wonder worlds, but that's the fact. The body has a purpose. You are changing people's cellular structure, so you must believe on some level the body can be programmed and changed. So if you're injecting an item into your mouth to go in and change your cellular, your structure, I don't believe I need that because I believe light does that. I believe cosmic events do that. I believe space dust does that. I believe that panspermia. Well, yeah, your panspermia for the body.
Proteins and sugars and fats,
right.
All five.
So panspermia is the drops. You're putting panspermia into the body.
See, you're anchoring yourself in a self-image of biology of this body. Now, that was conditioned.
Well, we're talking about that.
Nobody had that image before the printing press. The image you're saying is your anchor did not exist before the printing press.
I have to disagree about it because I can show you a quadrillion images from around the world of lost, suppressed matriarchal history that shows the body of the goddess in all her glory and all her fat and folds and everything hanging out for everyone to see that is dated way far back before
that's a visual image.
Yeah, but you are visual. You are, when I'm in the same room with you, I can see you.
No,
I can
but that's
see,
a
I can't
small
see
part.
You now because, well, I'm not, but it's not any part that we dismiss of ourselves is rejection. When we reject a part of ourselves as unworthy of love or heart, we are not whole. We are still holding on to an old, outdated paradigm where we're not good enough as we are.
Where did that come from? Where did that paradigm come from?
You tell me.
The outdated came from the printing press. All your images, you cannot experience what it's like before the printing press. You've been conditioned. You cannot go back to that. The image of the goddess.
Who says I can't go back to that? Because I believe you can.
Language says that.
Well,
we've
just spent an hour and 15 minutes talking about going back to that place in our mental time, physical time, emotional time, spiritual time. To that place of understanding as a 92-year-old man. Can you look back into your life when you were a child and find that place of consciousness before you knew how to read, before you knew how to hate or judge or even explain, before you knew how great you were? Can you go back to that place and find that innocent state of mind that lives within your cells, that absolutely is all over your biology as your biography, okay, and access that?
I don't think that state of mind is back in childhood. I think it's always with me. It never was influenced by the printing press.
Exactly.
See,
it's always
I'm not talking about the eternal self. The eternal self is a given.
We're getting confused, and this is what happens.
Yes, I'm trying to confuse you. I want you to look at your images and update them because it's not our private citizen awareness that we're talking about. We're talking about language and media and the effects of that. And your images of the goddess are not what the goddess reality was. It's an image, a statue. And as Ion says, the caveman couldn't even see their feet. They couldn't see their bodies. They had very low visual definition. So
how do you know that? How do you know that? And then also make the statement that the goddess body icons that came out from all over the world meant nothing. You can tell me that a caveman couldn't see his feet and I have to believe that.
It doesn't mean anything. It's not the beginning point.
But I'm not going to. Right, but you're not seeing my point. My point is that you can make a statement about something like that and then turn around and discredit the visuals that we have for the woman.
Yes, I discredit them. I don't think there are any women or men in the actual being of language.
Well, then you're going back. You're taking it back billions of years before that. You're going back even further then.
If we wiped out all the media and no books, no media, nothing of electronic gadgets, then we would be in that condition. So it wouldn't have to be a billion years ago. All we have to do is get rid of all the cultural imprints that language has created, language being motor cars, television. Then we'd be in a new situation, and that would be an environment that would be shaping us, and the effects of that would be unforeseen. So we're describing phasings of technological history here. That's the argument that's going on.
We're not disagreeing. We're just seeing it differently. And that's not a disagreement. That's just a difference in perspective. But I can appreciate what you're saying at the same time. You know, I can hold on to what my belief systems are and still appreciate yours, which there's no judgment in that. It's perfectly fine. You know, you reacted, something was triggered inside of you when I told you that I appreciate my body. And that I see myself as a woman, and that I take that perspective in my incarnation here now. So that's what kind of started the roll off and the response into all of that. So tracking
Your projection. That's your projection.
It is my projection. It's what I see.
Yeah, you're seeing. Don't go by what you see.
I'm a clairvoyant.
Go by what you feel. Go by your heart. Go by your heart and what you feel.
My heart is in tune to that. I'm not doing anything out of hate or discomfort or anything like that. It's love, but it's a different kind of love. It's a stand up and stick up for the things that I have learned to be my own truth. And it's just, that's my truth. I don't care if you believe it or not. I don't care if anybody listens to
it. What is your truth? What is your truth then? State
heart,
it in English. And what is that? You said being before. It's being.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm being in
being.
My truth. Yeah.
Now, and you know everybody else's being, but the language as media they use is confusing that issue. We're not too good at understanding the confusion and living with it.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. I do. I think people need to learn. I mean, I've had to learn how to live with this. You know, the people in my personal life have had to learn to live with it. We've all had to readjust our assemblage points and how we respond to each other, but that's part of being in a relation. So it's easy to talk in theory, but it's less hard, it's less easy to talk about the implementation. And you talked about that earlier when you talked about the RNA drops going through people physically, the ion stuff coming out, the evergreen material coming out, transmitting it over 5 days, being told that this is the time to do it. You know, you are working under a paradigm that is constructed through the entities that you're working with, through the people that you're working with, through the information that you're working with. And so it's really no different than me saying, well, I choose to and resonate with the matriarchal histories, the goddess histories, the things that have led me to my past where I am today right now. But yet you and I have very, very interesting synchronicities, like the Voynich manuscript. And that material
on my chart is the man who started the goddess movement. You ever heard of William Irwin Thompson?
He's on your chart, your reading list?
Yes, my chart, which is can be seen as a reading list, a movie list, a TV show list, a chemical list. Have you ever heard of William Irwin Thompson?
No, I have not.
All right. He's the one that inspired all the feminists in the New Age spiritual feminism in the 70s. And then when, who wrote The Chalice and the Blade or something? What's her name? Begins with C. Do you know that book?
I do know
Chalice
that book. I have read that, actually.
Charlene or something, yeah.
I'll take a look at this.
Yeah, William Irwin Thompson, Google him, look at his books. He got a little peeved in the early 90s when the spiritual feminists were taking over all over the place and not acknowledging that he mapped out what they were repeating. And it was because he was a man that he was ignored by the women. So there was a lot of confusion.
I would honestly expect that. I would expect that. And, you know, it's interesting because I just did a show this week with Kate Montana. Do you know who she is?
No, I don't know Kate Montana, no.
Okay. Kay Montana is, she's a woman who wrote Unearthing Venus, and she was a journalist and editor for ABC, NBC, CNN, ESPN, and she was a she worked with them. She was hardcore into the industry for a long time. If you Google her, you'll find her all over the place. She came on my show this week to talk about her new book and to talk about her experience from moving out of a multi-platform mainstream media ledge into the world of, okay, waking up into the goddess realms, into the, she was a feminist, and she was raised, she was basically in the industry through all of those years, and she made a really profound statement that has stayed with me, and I've been sharing this as I've talked about it, is the fact that women in the feminist movement, not only was it, okay, you say it was originated by a man, that he was pissed off that women took the construct and ran with it but didn't acknowledge him for credit of it. Well, you know, finding men need to find themselves. They don't need to find themselves through women, and women don't need to find themselves through men. So it's appropriate energetically to just kind of move with your own kind in that sense. If that's the path you're looking in, men have valuable experiences and worthy, you know, treaties to come in and talk about this stuff and to be in it. But women have to really go back to that. And what Kate said to me that stuck really well, stuck to the ribs, was this a statement about how she was empowered to come out into this industry, be a feminist, be a woman going into ESPN and sit and talk, you know, be on TV with all the men and be talking about the sports with all the men, because she's a feminist and she can stand up and she can be a man. That's exactly what she said. I was released from my constricted change of the feminist movement into the world as a woman being a man. Being a man professionally and even personally, it was all high-chiving. The P's, profit, possession, you know, moving into this kind of high-doing, high-achieving, ultra-gyrating activity that just goes out into the world, go, 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 do, 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 beat, 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 competitive, competitive, competitive. And she was extremely successful at it. She was so good at it that she became one of the top, you know, editors and journalists in the field. And what, you know what changed her? You want to know what changed her? What her big aha moment was? She had to do a story on a shamanic gentleman indigenous village in South America. So she went down there to do her story and to live among them and to report back, and it changed her life, because what she observed within this culture that is not a printing press culture, as from what I understand from you, a printing press culture was not one of these. And what she did was she moved into that space. She saw how men and women acted. The men went out and created and got and hunted and did and got. And the people who talked to her explained to her that women's roles was to kind of tell them when to stop. Okay, enough is enough. We have enough food. We have enough shelter. We have enough things. We're done. We're okay. And they would be the dreamers, and they would cook the food, and they would nourish the men. And in ceremony, they were highly regarded as the oracles and the diviners of that kind of channel of messages. But men were not discredited from that role. They had a different role. It was a role of a catalyst, and to move into those places with her to assist her, and also for her to assist them all, him included, into different spaces. So what she had to do to really unchip herself from this state of mind was to go back to the indigenous cultures, which are very earth-based, which are very relation-healed. They are not just, not all, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying the ones that are sustainable, have an ability to be in this space, co-creative, without being competitive, without, I mean, the women never told them to stop. Kate said they would just keep cutting down all the trees. What do you see happening to this planet? Most cultures are male-dominated. They follow a patriarchal line. Even the women in those cultures are men, trying to be men, following the energy and essence of manhood. They're, you know, they probably make love like men. You know, it's there is a different subtle essence, and this is my...
So what did she find out? What did she find out?
That was a turning moment. Well, that was a turning moment for her, you know, when she experienced that culture, when she came back to the United States and she went back to her job. She had a real awakening process that, of course, happened over time. It wasn't like an instantaneous thing, but it was like a deprogramming, pulling the chips out piece by piece and experiencing all that comes with it multidimensionally. You cannot dismiss
one. She had a multi-body simulated fast. It's not a total fast, but so what happened to her when she came back? She quit her job, and now what does she do?
She writes full-time. She actually does this full-time. She lectures. She runs around the country, and she ends up... She actually
explaining what? She's explaining media ecology?
No, but she talks about her experience, of course. She relays that to people. She shares it.
What is her insight that she got?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
So I'm getting to that. You got to let me finish answering your question. So,
right.
You know, what she does is she travels around the country. She talks about the insight, the aha, the epiphanies that she had with that. She writes about it. She uses that platform to reach people, just like radio reaches people. I mean, she's very intelligent. She's an editor. She helps people write books. You know, she has a profession where she makes her money doing that as well. She's not in the mainstream media anymore. She quit. She could not stay there. She just simply could not be true to who she really was, and stay in that kind of platform anymore and be at one and or at peace in the heart with that.
So what's her insight? She slowed down?
Well, she shifted gears completely. She slowed down. She recalled the memory.
She went back to visual space.
Well, that's what she does.
That's fundamental.
I mean, writing a book, well, you can't say that because a lot of your guests are coming on the show who've written books. I mean, you've written
diaries.
You've written books and books and books and books of your life. You've written diaries and published them.
No, I don't. I haven't done that. I put together a few notes that I'd written 40 years ago, but I don't write books and I don't recommend it. And I see that the heart of the American meme is the printing press. So you can go back to New Age books or you can go back to Bible books, but you're still falling back as a techno-fundamentalist on the book. That is the essence of American, North American, and maybe European culture. So that your friend, Kate, has not learned anything. She's just become devoted to the past medium of the book and the slower world of writing for editorials and for newspapers. She could not keep up with the chip body because she didn't understand it. And she's fallen back on the very bias that makes her incapable of understanding the chip body. She thought she was getting burnt out. And on top of that, she could take the drops and she could survive that thing. She has become an old-fashioned fogey.
Well, I mean, you're making a judgment and you haven't listened to her.
Yes, I'm making a very accurate, my language is making a very accurate, precise, technical judgment on her. Nothing wrong with that.
You're entitled to your truth. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
Not a truth. A judgment based on the proportions of the information, bigger ground right now. That's my judgment.
I completely respect how you see it. You're entitled. I absolutely disagree with you 100%. I think what she's doing is worthy.
Tell me how I'm limited, and tell me what your opinion says. Where are we different?
For me personally, Bob, what I hear you saying is because she wrote a book, she's failed.
No, she's going around verbally speaking, and she's saying that she could not keep up with the TV body and the chip body world that she was living in. And she went to a non-literate society. She did not remain there, and she came back and simulated the slowness of that society to come back and pick a slower form of communication, walking around, speaking, and writing articles. Like, why doesn't she stay in the TV chip body world, too?
Well, I mean, to get her point, I see what you're saying, because from a consciousness standpoint, you can reach more people from that kind of platform. So I can appreciate what you're saying. She did go spend 2 years in the woods of northern Georgia to do this whole process for herself, and then she came back and she did. I mean, if you're in a platform and you go back to CNN and you stand up and you start talking your truth and you are not just standing there reading the prompter, going over what everybody else is telling you to say, you get fired. They don't keep
right.
you there.
You're not doing the corporate role. You're bringing
right.
in your literate
so,
individual
so she
self.
She wasn't willing to go back to the draw, you know, to going back to reading the prompter and just putting the information out there the way they want her to put it out there. So she quit because it wasn't what she could do anymore, and they weren't willing to let her. So if I didn't make that clear, then it's just going deeper into her story a little bit. But that's really what it
right.
is, and that's how
well,
I see it.
She's
so
doing the same thing. Same thing happened to Marianne Williamson and Naomi Wolf. They both got into the dropout mode. And I understand
Marianne Williamson is running for Congress.
Yes,
she's running
after
for
she got burnt 10 years ago.
No, she
ran
now.
For Congress. I know. She's dropped back in, but she disappeared for 10 years.
Well,
and
I mean, you learn a lot in 10 years. I mean, you can learn a lot. You know, in 10 years, she's in a totally different space. I mean, you just
right.
said,
so,
when you
so
read the Voynich manuscript again after not reading it, you know, for 3 years, you're going to learn something new. So Marianne, who I have a great deal of respect for, has, you know, come into this race, again, trying to do it. And I believe that the support she has to do it will definitely be there. And I appreciate what she's doing because on one dimension, on one level, she is attempting to go back into a system, but she's going to find a lot of challenges, like Kate found when she went back into mainstream media. You know, it's just
yeah. Why does she want to? So she's on the way of returning, and Kate is continuing to withdraw. Why does what does Marianne represent that she thinks she can preserve or present to enter into the ridiculous political world?
Love.
What is it?
I think it's
no,
love.
No. That's not love. That's not
Why?
Love. That's propaganda.
Why?
To
what?
Communicate today is a fundamentalist action. We must not communicate in the sense of thinking we are imparting meaning. You're just adopting a role in the global theater, and that's what the Android meme wants you to do. So she's falling back into the seduction and not working for real heart. Real heart would be something involved with the level of language I'm discussing.
Well, you're basically saying unless it's what you're saying, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Unless you say what my language is.
I think that's a really pompous thing to say because that's like me saying, well, whatever I
think.
Well,
I have to be pompous. I've come into my power. I want to out-pompous. I'm taking a stand, and I'm going to be out-pompous every other inflated entity that's in the media landscape. I'm going to out-pomposity them. And I think that you should do that and everybody else do it. I don't think you guys are making yourself pompous enough to handle the pomposity you're up against.
I mean, if you heard me on Matthew's show the other night, I was pretty pompous.
No, you weren't. No. You were talking in English. You were talking in words. You cannot be pompous with English.
I'm kidding. I'm bringing humor into it.
I'm responding to what you're doing, what you're saying, because I heard it. And I'm saying that if you want to be pompous, you have to use the language scientifically. You have to use the words, just like Cosmic Warrior said, certain well-chosen words to battle the confusion of media mixture that's happening. And I've developed a strategy, and then it evoked Ion to come in and be even more extreme pomposity. Nothing's more pompous than Ion. And it enhances people's sense of their power. Not talking English, not talking books, not making shows, not withdrawing, not taking ayahuasca, not being an Aboriginal. None of those chemical body forms of communication are pompous enough. And it doesn't mean becoming a president of the White House or a leader of CNN. The pomposity is to adopt all five bodies and make outstanding communications that no one would believe and even sound part fascist, part communist, part anarchist, and part monarchist. That's what we recommend. And that's what Wyndham Lewis was the beginning of in 1929. He said, I'm part fascist, part communist. I have a bit of monarchism in my Marxism, and a healthy passion for order in my anarchism. We are all those four dynamics. That's pomposity.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious why you would say no to something like ayahuasca, but yes to RNA drops.
Oh, no. I don't say no to anything. I've done it all.
No. You just said that, you know, we don't believe in this and everything else, and you put ayahuasca in there.
I don't believe in
because
anything.
Because it is a plant.
I don't believe in RNA drops, but I know what the drops do technically to people, and I'm all for that. It's not my personal point of view. It's what language should say today. RNA drops knocks out the AMA, knocks out incredible medical pomposities. That's a technical
statement. And there's also
statement.
A lot of, you have to acknowledge the fact that there are a lot of plant medicines out there that, and the Voynich is all about that, and that go out there and have remedies and have been working and still work within circles that
they're puny. They have been superseded. That's based on the old terrestrial habitat. The new terrestrial habitat is the superterrestrial kind that the drops bring in through what's called the eye cell. We actually have made contact with the most ascended substance that ever was, and it was always sitting there.
So you have an entity. Okay, well, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you clearly, so just forgive me here. So you have an entity that's come in now that's telling people to consume the RNA drop, that it's going to change your DNA to better, tune in to a different frequency. And so when people consume the RNA drops, they're opening themselves up to this alien energy, this frequency, this extraterrestrial type energy, other dimensional.
You've said enough in the description. We disagree that ion is not an entity. Ion is the structure of non-physical itself. It's the most pompous environment that you could have. It's heaven. It's not the entities that come through the evergreens. It's not the souls that go to, the essences that go to the wherever one goes when you die. It is the structure of heaven itself that is collapsing itself and entering the mixture of the chemical body, chip body, astral body, and TV body, and the mystery body. It's converging the bodies. It's the most pompositous and situation and concept. That's what ion is, way more beyond entities. And I'm saying that environment is what we're all responding to.
Okay, so thank you
not
for the clarification.
Entity.
Okay, so we have ion, which is like, okay, so in my language, I would probably say that's like an energy or an essence or, you know, like the universal
chi. A technology.
A technology, okay. Okay, so we have this kind of construct then, because technology reminds me of constructed intelligence. So we have a constructed, can we agree on that? Or does
yes,
that not,
if you include
not,
heart, if you include heart
okay.
within that definition.
Okay, I like that. So we have a constructed technology that infuses heart energy, because it's part of it,
yes.
that infuses
yeah.
through all of this, and so it's kind
and
of like
that. Doesn't like the word energy, would never, it translates eternity into practical applications, because energy implies you would lose something, but if you're actually eternal, which I maintained you are, you don't lose energy, you don't gain it, you never acquired it, you're eternal, and that's something that can't be measured, and that's why you can stay in the physical, expanded physical forever. Ever. So let's not use the word energy.
Well, you can not use the word energy, but it's part of what I do. So I use it because energy basically is absolutely neither positive nor negative. It just is until it becomes that chemically. So when you're talking about RNA drops, now I have to ask you this. So you don't believe in the RNA drops, but yet you're sponsored by them, and then you're talking about how great the RNA drops are and how this is a vital part of how people are going to evolve and transmute into
yeah.
higher beings. So if you don't believe in it, how can you say that?
I can operate without belief. I don't require belief. Ion defines belief as a thought you've been thinking a long time. I do not have a thought that I'm thinking a long time. There's no thought that can maintain its distance anymore because of so many thoughts that are being generated 24/7. So you wouldn't even be able to, I don't even have consciousness. I'm talking technically, and I'm saying the new environment, RNA drops is one of the expressions of that, goes around the android meme. So I'm talking like a doctor, like a dentist. It says, well, you have this issue, so we would apply this. And so RNA drops is the most astounding, pompositous environment coming out of even a bigger environment, ion, that is the appropriate response in any argument or discussion or theme that's trying to come to a conclusion.
Okay. I hear you. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's, you know, I mean,
are you bonding
it is what
with
it is.
Me,
I mean,
Hillary? Are you getting the synchronicity? Are you catching it?
I know,
catching the vibe here?
Well, I mean, you know, dismiss me while I'm sitting here listening
to you. Are you feeling
me?
I'm inside you, Hillary. I'm inside you right now. I'm way inside there, down in your gonads, inside your the sugary
but
walls of your vagina.
But I don't have gonads, honey. I have a yoni that's just beautiful. And to be honest with you, it works really well. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, I'm inside there. I can feel it. I can see it. I'm outside your intestine.
I don't know.
It's inevitable.
I have definitely gone way over 10 minutes, and I know you have about 6 minutes or so left in this hour.
Yes, I have given you multiple orgasms tonight. Multiple orgasms. Way inside, deep. And you've been way inside me, because I don't limit myself to being a man. I've always said I'm a black woman.
That's great. That's really good. So we've connected, and we've had this exchange, and panspermia has happened, and we're
both
going...
That's right. You have had lesbian sex. You have had lesbian sex tonight.
How many hours are you really going on without sleep?
Oh, I've done 5 days before. I'm going to go till Wednesday, which I have to break 116 hours. I have no problem with the drops in that. I'm not even tired, and I've been up for, I don't know, 36, 48 hours or whatever already.
So in that, actually, that brings up a question I wanted to ask. So if you're able to take these drops and stay up for 5 days, when people consume these, is that what's happening? They just stay up all day? I mean, why not just take cocaine?
Sometimes that happens. What happens is you're unique to the individual. Some people sleep for a week when they first get on drops. Other people can't sleep for a week. But it gets balanced out, and then they find, well, I better not take the drops right before bed. So they'll take them like earlier in the evening or in the afternoon. Twice a day. So you do modulate the effect on your sleep mechanism, because Ayn says no one has ever slept. You go to another world when you disconnect, call it, through sleep. So, and consciousness requires going to another world. All I have to do is put up with not succumbing to going to another world. Not sleeping, but going to another world. But if I understand that I'm interfacing with you and all the other talkers as going into other worlds, I can fool my consciousness saying, yes, I'm already falling asleep all the time, engaging in other worlds. So once you understand that, then you don't have to worry about actual replenishing yourself, because energy is not required to be eternal. So I don't need sleep to be eternal. But I do need to disconnect from this ridiculous world I'm looking at right now, this 3D, you know, multi-sensory world. The deep inside self craves to go to another place. And if I can satisfy that while the 5 days, and then I will not have to lay down and sleep.
I've really enjoyed this two-hour interview that's gone on for an extra hour. I've enjoyed my time here with you, and I hope that you and I can do a show together on my show. I'd love to have you come on and talk about what we were talking about before, but to just kind of see how a follow-up, how you feel after 5 days on the drop, going nonstop, especially since you normally use them or really even believe in them. But I mean, I'd like to know what you feel. I'd like to know what you come out of this with. I'm curious. And if there's some way that we can contact each other so that I can, you know, look into some of those books and titles and things that the information.
My email is ion@howionic.com. Email there, then I'll have your email, and then we can talk on the phone or in email, and no problem. I only sleep 3 hours a night generally, so I have lots of time and experience to engage with anybody indefinitely.
Okay, so it's ion@ionic.
Yeah, ion@howionic. HOWIONIC. How ionic, not how ironic, though that's embedded. howionic.com. ion@howionic.com.
Okay.
Just say hello. I'll have your email, and then I'll send you some information.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And
I sincerely hope, but I know I'm getting off the air soon, but I just really hope everybody's, you know, having a good time, and that, you know, I do wish you wonderful, you know, energy with this event and how it's transmitting.
No, don't wish me energy. Do not wish me energy. That will just drag me down.
Well, you know, oh well, it is what it is. I mean, I think it's going to drag
you
down. It will drag
you. Just wish that I stay inside you. I do not want to withdraw.
All right, everybody, that's it. I'm out of here.
Yes.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go read the reviews now. I'm going to read the reviews. Thanks for participating, Hillary. You've helped me stay awake.
Oh, thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Now, let's just go over and see what the reviews are. Is Michael here? Where are we at, Bill? What's the status of everybody and anything? Okay. So
Michael
wasn't that interesting?
Text me when he gets back.
Okay. Look at these people screaming on the chat room. for 2 hours.
He's coming in now, Bob.
Yay! I made Carolyn laugh.
Yeah, Michael's on now.
Hey, Mikey, baby!
Hey, Bob!
Here we are, meeting at a bus station. Which way are you taking? I'm going up northern Manhattan. Are you going over the east side? Where are you going today, Michael?
I've been doing irrigation, Bob.
Oh, that's what we call the lactate ringers. What do they call them? The lactate ringer irrigant. Irrigated? What is it called?
Yeah, it's used as an irrigation. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Carolyn.
Wow, good to hear you all the way from South Africa. People may not know who Michael is, all the thousands of listeners.
It's Michael Green, Michael Blue, Michael Orange, but he prefers Michael Brown because he's hanging out with the brown people now.
Yeah.
Tell us about the brown people, Michael.
I don't know, Bob, whether I should talk about the brown people at the moment, Bob.
It's only the Calicabon. It's only one-fifth of them. It's only one-fifth of them. No. Yeah, we'll understand you're only talking about one-fifth of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's actually going quite well with the brown people at the moment, Bob. Some time has passed. There's been some deep breathing involved, and it's all good.
Well, do you, over the past 8 months, it's been about 7 months when you disappeared, have you ever listened to any Payday since then, or have you gone totally on an ionic fast and don't engage in any information about us?
Bob, I jumped ship. I didn't get on a boat and get dragged behind the ship. I actually, there's sort of an island came past and I jumped ship. It